This is On Base, your one-stop shop for solving your most pressing B2B go-to-market challenges. Each week, hosts Chris Moody and Paul Gibson talk to sales and marketing leaders to get you in-depth insights and creative strategies to set your revenue teams up for success.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Moody. Today, I'm very excited to talk to Ruth Zive on decoding AI success. Ruth oversees LivePerson's global market organization, which is focused on growing scalable, measurable, and predictable world-class demand generation with operational rigor. A three-time enterprise software CMO, she leads the company's digital and demand generation, field marketing and sales development, vertical and product marketing, branding, and internal and external comms functions. So plenty we can jump in. Ruth, very excited to have you here. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, that a lot of things are under your remit. So we'll jump in. There's plenty of directions you can take this. But the first, I'd love for you to describe your experience working with business leaders who are grappling with the unique challenge of trying to figure out the potential of AI. And they also know that it's this huge thing that they could use for almost every single thing they do. There's fear, there's excitement, all the things with AI. So how do you start that conversation with business leaders?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, even the letters AI, you know, it's become almost white noise, filled with promise, but also daunting in many ways. And at LivePerson, we work mostly with very large enterprise brands. And it's interesting because they know that, you know, there's an imperative usually within their organization to implement AI, but they don't always understand what that means from, you know, an outcomes perspective. And so we were curious to dig into this. So at LivePerson, we recently launched a survey and we interviewed thousands of consumers, hundreds of business leaders. And what we found or validated is that there's this interesting emerging AI gap between those business leaders and the consumers that they serve. Business leaders have this enthusiasm around AI, this eagerness to roll it out. But then on the consumer side, there's a little bit of a reluctance. And we think that all ultimately comes back to delivering ROI, proving out the return on your AI investment. That's how you sort of narrow that AI gap. And that's going to be a real priority for businesses in the coming year. You know, we're doing this today with lots of exciting brands on the leading edge, the Real, Mouser, Mindvalley, Virgin Media. And what we're finding is that the more that they're actually able to prove out this business benefit, to demonstrate that in a measurable sense, the more you diminish that reluctance and apprehension on the part of the consumer.
I love that. I think that's really good guidance because it is daunting until you get started and recognize that immediate benefit, see how it works for you, how it impacts your role. So I think that's great feedback there. In navigating the AI landscape, how do you and your team manage to cut through the hype and make sure that you're crafting a framework that's helping people to understand AI and really be customer facing and focused on their needs?
Yeah, well, there is a lot of hype. I think, you know, that's the challenge is how do you kind of bring it back down to earth in a practical sense? And so again, with the interests of the large enterprise in mind, we invented this framework at LivePerson that we call the conversational flywheel. And what it lays out is a path for brands to really understand AI, to get started in putting it in front of their customers, to help human call center agents to use it in a practical way that drives efficiency, and then to take the data from all of those steps and use that as a mechanism to improve your process over time. And this is a real problem-solving framework that can be used irrespective of industry or size of business or use case. And we found that once we kind of framed it all within the context of that very practical system, we sort of systematized it, it helped brands to really understand where the opportunities were within their business.
I like that a lot. One thing I'm curious about the flywheel is almost the starting point. So as a marketer, we have some folks who are using AI personally and professionally. And, you know, I love Midjourney. I spend tons of time on ChatGPT. It's helped me to build meal plans, all the fun things, like not just work. Yeah. But, you know, if you think about some folks who are dabbling and may not recognize the true benefit versus some who this is totally new. They don't know what Discord is or how to use various tools. How does that plug in to the flywheel to help them understand where their path starts?
Well, you used the word understand a few times in your framing of the question, and the flywheel actually starts with that notion. How do you really understand the needs of your customer or your employee or whoever it is that you expect the AI to touch? And so we initiate the flywheel with that stage, that understand stage, and it really starts with your data. And so if you're going to use LivePerson as an example, we sell into the customer care organization. So our recommendation is that you start with your customer data. Really understand what your customers need. What are they struggling with? What are the key intents that you're solving for them? And once you have a good understanding of those needs, you can figure out where the low-hanging fruit is. Where is it most ripe to insert AI into the work stream to better meet the needs of your customers? So that's really the first step, is around understand. Once you've got a good grasp of the opportunity, then you can start looking at what systems do you need to connect? Connect is the next stage of the flywheel. So what systems, what channels do you need to connect in order to optimize that automated experience for your customer? The next stage is assist. That's really, how do you make the AI employee facing so that they can deliver a more efficient experience to your end customer? So in our case, those are customer support agents. How do you really empower them with AI so that they can be more efficient, more thoughtful, deliver more meaningful experiences? And then once you've kind of driven those efficiencies and productivity gains, how do you then automate across the broader business and particularly consumer facing so that customers can self-serve and really reap the benefits of AI? And the reason it's a flywheel is because once you turn your AI consumer facing, you're able to gather a lot more data about their needs, and that data feeds the first stage, which is understand, gets that flywheel spinning. So, but it all starts with understand, to your point.
I'm a big fan of that. We mentioned hype earlier, and yeah. Another parallel to hype is kind of the AI washing that happens in a lot of cases where people talk about AI, even if it's not a great AI use case. It's just AI, AI, AI all over the website. Yeah. So I love that understanding is that anchor point, and it goes forever and ever and ever and continues. That probably helps a ton with messaging, which I know we'll dive into a lot. But just thinking about how to talk about AI to customers, I'm assuming the flywheel becomes an important piece.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do think that the ultimate foil for the hype is the data. You know, you have to be anchored in your real life circumstances, no matter what business you run. And AI is only as good as the impact that it can have on your business. And that is very much a function of the data. And so if you're making data-informed decisions relative to your AI priorities, I think that helps to diffuse a lot of the hype that's out there so that it's more than just two letters informing a digital transformation, becomes very grounded and anchored in real life use cases. So yeah, the flywheel has given us a really functional way of talking about the opportunity to our customers and prospects in practical terms, which is, I think, what everyone is craving amidst all of the hype.
Definitely. I'm very excited for this next topic. And, you know, learning that your SDR team reports into marketing rather than sales. I was an analyst for years. That's something we talk to a lot of teams about, especially when we think about account base. And with you being an organization that targets customer care, customer success, all the customer focused teams, the two biggest things that I probably talk about with marketing leaders every single week, sales and marketing alignment and cross-sell, upsell, retention, right? Yeah. So being close to the customer and having your SDR team in marketing, I'd love for you to talk to folks about why you think that's so important and how that helps with sales and marketing alignment.
Sure. Yeah, I get asked this question a lot. And for what it's worth, like I've seen it work with SDR sitting inside of sales. So I'm definitely not territorial about it. I just you know, this is my third time as CMO, my third time having oversight of the SDR, BDR organization. And selfishly, I think it makes me a better marketer because it gives me more skin in the game deeper into the funnel. I'm not handing leads over to sales or MQLs. I'm handing over an opportunity that is much more fully baked. And I've got a line of sight to which I'm accountable into that opportunity. And I've got control over what it is that I'm handing over at that later stage. And so it forces me to have a deeper level of investment much later into the sales funnel, which I think frees sales reps to do what they do best, which is nurture, you know, further along into that sales process. They have better assurance that they're getting a qualified opportunity from marketing. And then the last point I'll make is that I see BDRs not just as, you know, bookers of meetings or cold callers or prospectors. They are brand ambassadors. They are usually the first person that a prospect speaks to when they engage with your brand in real time. And they have an opportunity to represent your brand, test your marketing message, close the loop with marketing to bring feedback about what's resonating and what's not. They can do lightweight market research in some ways if you sort of task them with the right questions. So again, there's an opportunity there for marketing by having the SDRs as part of the team to really close the loop on that front and bring some really valuable insight to your go-to-market strategy. So I think for those reasons, having SDRs sit inside of marketing really serves as a forcing function to drive that sales marketing alignment that is so desperately needed, especially in B2B SaaS, where sales cycles can be long and complex. And I think it just ensures tighter alignment at the earliest stages.
I love that. It's such an important topic. And you know, our CMO and CSO are writing a book on sales and marketing alignment right now. Ooh. And they've been interviewing a lot of folks in the process of creating that book. And you see so many times it is just that pure handoff and not understanding each other and having that feedback loop. It's almost the loop you talked about before, right? Like if you're not listening to the flywheel of what's happening on calls and what messaging is working and what isn't, it's just a massive missed opportunity. So, here we even track marketer to marketer calls. So we bring in marketers to help sellers. So we join a lot of calls where you can hear it. But I think having the two teams together really helps with that. So, kudos to you. I love that story.
Yeah. And, I'm a marketer who believes that my customer is sales. My job is ultimately to provide sales with the pipeline coverage that they need to hit their numbers. And so I think it's important that the entire marketing team is held accountable to pipeline outcomes. We don't, we see MQLs or leads as a leading indicator of pipeline outcomes, and we certainly track them and watch them. But what matters is pipeline. And so the entire marketing team at LivePerson is accountable to pipeline outcomes. That's what we track as the number one KPI across the team. And I think we're able to do that with confidence because the SDRs sit inside of marketing. And so we have some leverage on that conversion point between the MQL and the pipeline opportunity.
Awesome. And you talked about the feedback loops and some of the messaging and some of the testing. So what specific initiatives or strategies are you using today to make sure you have cohesive messaging between marketing and sales?
So some of this is nuanced. I think it's important to standardize, especially in the earliest stages of the funnel, you want to standardize your messaging and positioning, in my opinion, as much as possible. And then you want to make sure that there's good pull through from that first visit on the website through to implementation. You know, a lot of the breakdown in a sales cycle happens when you're messaging one thing, sales is selling another, and then customer success has to implement something altogether different. And in a best case scenario, you want all of that to be one and the same. And so marketing has to be really opinionated based on their understanding the market opportunity on what that should be. But of course, it's always evolving because at those other inflection points, we should be also gathering feedback on what is landing in the sales cycle from a messaging perspective, and then what are the challenges on the implementation and success front in delivering against the promise that we showcased on the website. So how do we do that, I guess, is the question. I think, you know, making sure that there's tight alignment between marketing and sales and success, making sure that there's good enablement on those three fronts, and that enablement is really plugged into product marketing in a way that sort of ensures that the story is consistent at those three inflection points. And then, you know, closing the loop, measuring, rinsing, repeating, evolving as we start to get signals about how that message is landing. Also having a pulse on the broader market, the competitive landscape, analyst feedback. Product marketing is really the linchpin marketing team, I think, to make sure that you're getting it right.
Great stuff. We just had an offsite last week. So a lot of what you're saying, I'm like, yes, we are living that too. And the importance of product marketing. We have a couple key hires there too. So we are living that with you. And we have a few quick questions to close us out today. So some of the most important ones we build to the most important, which I'll give you the spoiler. It's how people can get in touch with you after the podcast. But first, let's tackle one we call Goodreads, but it could be a listen, a watch. Is there a book, blog, newsletter, website, or video that you would recommend to our listeners?
So one of the books I find myself recommending most often is a book called Amp It Up by Frank Slootman. It's just a great book about winning teams, winning go-to-market strategy. It had a big influence on me. One of the principles in the book is this idea that outcomes trump strategy. It's for sure stated much more eloquently in the book, but that's sort of the spirit of the principle. And I just buy into that so wholeheartedly that a great strategy in the absence of any outcomes is a failure. But realizing a great outcome in the absence of a fully baked strategy is still a positive. So, you know, don't spin on strategy is sort of the takeaway. But there's so much more great stuff in that book. So I would absolutely recommend it. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. My favorite these days, without wanting to talk about politics, is a great podcast by Barry Weiss called Honestly. Just lots of interesting, controversial topics that I think she addresses with grace, and just love it.
What a great name for a political podcast too, Honestly. One word just to kind of hit at the heartstrings. That's awesome. Well, we'll check those out. And then we have a question called Good People, which it's anyone that you think would be great to have on the show or that inspire you in the B2B space.
Sure. Well, if you haven't had him already, you should definitely reach out to Kyle Lacey. He's super smart. Always learn something from him whenever I listen to him. Good follow on LinkedIn as well. Probably a lesser known marketing leader. His name is Brian Hartlin. I haven't spoken to him for a while. In fact, he may be semi-retired at this point. He was my mentor, brilliant, brilliant, opinionated marketer with great experience. If you have him as a guest, it will certainly be an interesting listen. And then lastly, I would say Debbie Dunham, who I've had the privilege of working with very closely, brilliant go-to-market expert and executive. I learned a lot from her in a very short time. Would highly recommend you reach out to her.
Great choices there. And I do love Kyle Lacey. So the last time we were in the same city, we did catch up. So I don't know if we've had him on the show. I need to get him on the show again. And then last, the most important question. After our listeners listen to the show, they want to reach out to you. What's the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
Sure. Probably the best way is on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. You can follow me, follow LivePerson. I also co-host a podcast called Generation AI. That new episodes drop there every other week. And then lastly, I'm a contributor on Fast Company. So you can go there and read my articles, try to post, you know, every couple of months, and would love for you to give some of those a read. So,
all right. Well, we'll do it. Ruth, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It was great being here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us for On Base. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. The show is brought to you by Demandbase, the only account-based experience platform built for sales and marketing alignment.